Now I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. I'm standing in an empty grave. And the stone that you rolled away. When I was perfect, when you saw sun. When I left the night and you saw one. And just like that, all my past has been erased. When I look back, I see grace.
All right, I see grace. Anybody seen Kevin? No, okay. Well, I guess I'll be preaching today then. Still time to leave. I was telling my friend Corey over here. But we want to give you an opportunity to move around and shake hands, welcome each other. And I hope you've had a wonderful 4th of July week. So let's all do that. Stand up, move around, shake a few hands. All right. Once you've shaken 20 hands, you may be seated. So, we're glad everybody's here today, and I hope that you've had, again, a great 4th of July. Our scripture verse, well, before we do that, how many had fireworks going off at your house last night or around your house still? I say this every year, but I'll say it once again. You know, I think people ought to stick to the actual holiday. You know, go with the holiday, celebrate, and get it over with. Some of those fireworks last night almost hit our Christmas tree. It was tough, you know, that was almost caught it on fire. So I say that every year, Jason. They're still laughing, though. I do remember driving, this was kind of a neat thing. I had a wedding up in Myrtle Beach on July 4th, a couple years ago. And then I was driving up to Kentucky to see my dad. And imagine this. Now, this was right around sunset. I'm driving up through the back country of South Carolina. And everywhere, there were fireworks going on. Now, that was cool, because I didn't hear them. I could see them. That was great. Let's look at this verse, a great verse here for us, as we think about our nation. Psalm 33:12, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Very simple verse. It talks about how important it is for us to build our country on faith in God. Romans chapter 12, there's another verse that came to mind this week. It says, we ought to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And I'm sure most of you know about the flooding that's taken place down in Texas. And it near and dear to my heart was when they started talking about that camp, the Christian camp that got hit. And a lot of those children, teenagers missing. And so we want to lift them up in prayer today. We have a prayer of thankfulness for our country. We also have a prayer of just prayer for those folks going through that time. So if you would, bow with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for a nation where we can come and worship you. We have that freedom. We have the freedom to actually go out and invite people and share the good news of Jesus. And Lord, today as we come together, we thank you for those freedoms. We thank you that we live in a country that does those things that will honor you. Help all and most of our nation, Lord, right now is not turning to you the way that we would like to see, but to pray that there would be a revival and see that happen. We also lift up the folks who are hurting, not just in Texas, but all across our country and our world, those who are going through tough times. We praise you. We lift them up to you as well. And now we sing your praises, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Touching time of year. We think about all those 249 birthdays for America. Some of us have been around for a few more than others. And hopefully all of us will be there for 250. That'll be great. And we do live in a strange time. I'll never forget when the guy told me, you remember when cable came out and they had like 600 channels? You know, now, I don't know, when it first came out, it was like 20. Now it's like 600 channels. And the guy said something. He said something very profound. He said, people will be able to choose their own reality based on the channels they choose to watch. So media has become a big part of how we look at America. I think the best place to look is in the Bible. To look at what God's Word tells us about how we ought to be. There's a lot of conflict in our world right now, all around the world. Matter of fact, I saw a McDonald's sign that said, "We serve chicken sandwiches on Sunday." Yeah, they're open on Sunday. So Chick-fil-A put up, "Our ice cream machines will always work." There's a little division all around, you know, you see that going on. I remember during COVID, I went out and got a bike. You know, it's like I went to the pond. I couldn't find a bike anywhere. I said, "Hey, things are going to shut down. I got to have some exercise." Went and got a bike at a pawn shop. Never been to a pawn shop before. Went and got a bike. Lady said, I said, "It's $100. I'll take it." She said, they came back and said, "Oh, the price is wrong." I said, "Oh, my gosh, it's like $300. She said, "No, it's $90. I said, "I'll take it." So I got home. My wife said, "You know, you just bought an ugly women's bike." Woman's bike. I said, "All right." I didn't know the woman wasn't ugly, but the bike was ugly. Every day I would ride that bike to Holy Cross Cemetery, ride around and do that because I didn't really want to see all the news about what the bad things happened with COVID. But I made sure to get back in time to see Jeopardy every night with Becca. We watched that. So thank heavens that we can come together here at church and enjoy unity. God's family. We ought to be unified. My dad, we grew up in Michigan, so my dad was all about American cars. I mean, everything was the American cars. And, you know, I had my first car, if you remember Starsky and Hutch. Anybody remember Starsky and Hutch? Now, that's a ways back. They had a Ford Torino. And if you picture that, that's what I had. I had this Ford Torino. And I met Becca. We got engaged. We're getting ready to get married. She had a Datsun B210. I think it would fit down the side aisle. I think it was so small it could go right down the side of the church. And so there was a conflict here because I'd been taught you only use American cars, John. You only buy American cars. She has this Japanese car. I think it was Datsun. So guess who won the battle on that? We ended up driving a Datsun B210. So, you know, now she drives a Toyota. I drive a Honda Civic with 336,000 miles. Actually, I'm not driving it today because it's in the shop. Imagine that. I'm driving a Mitsubishi. So there it has. You know, saving grace is this. My son, Kyle, is driving my dad's Grand Marquis Mercury. You know, saved the whole family there. So, yeah. But anyway, one of the things my dad said and taught me, that was one of the things, but he said, you know, in church, we're all one family. We're not going to talk about this political side of that, but we're going to talk about being unified. And I love that. I love that. So as we focus on God's word, look at this. We value and provide freedom for people. The fact that we're able to be here this morning and to worship is a freedom that sometimes we take for granted, for there will be nothing to fear. Now think about that. We don't have that. Talking about peace. I would think of some of the songs, the Elvis song, "There Will Be Peace," hallelujah chorus. "The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God, and he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah." So until that, they're endowed by their creator, capital C, with certain unalienable rights that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Freedom. The Constitution. "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, liberty, and the Bill of Rights. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion." Live in America as Americans. I do a lot of weddings for folks from overseas. We'll talk about, Jason, who spoke the best English out of that group? I don't know. So, but Alabama, I apologize. That was horrible. That was horrible. But no, I came up front and I said, when you do this in a big wedding, you say, "All right, folks, make sure your phones are on silent." All the folks from Venezuela stood up. I have no idea why. And I said, no, not yet. Not yet. The bride is not coming in yet. We're just asking you to put your... So, you know, there's these different cultures. I don't know what was said, or maybe it's the fact that, hey, the pastor got up to speak and now everybody stands up. I don't know. But the cultures of our world are very different. And we see this as we go around the world. America is very unique in many of the freedoms that we have. Look at 1 Peter 2:12. Another thing that is very good about our country, we offer opportunities for success and excellence. It says in this verse, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. People around the world want to experience the American dream. We talk about that. You don't hear about the Russian dream or the Chinese dream. You hear about the American dream, the idea of coming together. There's a story of Mr. and Mrs. Fields. They baked some cookies back in 1977. All they did was bake a few cookies and sold some of them, and guess what happened? Another guy named, I can't even say his name, Arno Penzias, born in 1933. His family immigrated to America when he was 7, and he was penniless. But that didn't stop him. He worked hard, excellently, became a world-famous astrophysicist. And I don't even know what an astrophysicist does myself, but whatever it is, he was good enough to earn a Nobel Peace Prize in 1978. You can call out whatever job you have. God has called us to do the best job that we can do, to be excellent. Most of you know, and some of you are basketball coaches here, I was the worst at talking to the referees. You know, I would just, oh my goodness, it was rough. But I said, you know what? I'm not going to just complain about the refs. If I'm going to do that, I'm going to learn how to do it, and I'm going to go out there and be a referee. I don't know if I've told you guys this story. It's not even in my notes, and I'll cut the rest of some of the other stuff out so we get out on time. But I'm over at James Island Christian School, and we're playing, and the ball is hitting the player in the hand and going to the ground and coming back up, and then they dribble, and some lady in the crowd is hollering, double dribble, every time that happens. Here it was again, double dribble. And I'm thinking, all right, halftime comes, right? I go over, I do something. No referee goes and talks to the crowd, right, Stan? No referee goes over and talks. I go over and talk to the fans. So I go over to this grandmother, and I said, let's talk about double dribble. Double dribble has to be possessed and dribbled, and then possessed and dribbled again. It can't just hit off their hand. She said, well, that's not the only thing you missed. You missed the ball hitting that wire up there, and you missed the ball going over here, and some guy stepped on the line down there, and I said, well, ma'am, you know what? That's the worst half of reffing I have ever done. And what I would like you to do is watch me closely in the second half and see if I do better. So second half, it was exactly the same. Nothing changed. And I went over to her after the game. I said, ma'am, how was the second half? Oh, it was much better. You know why? Because we had taken just a moment there to talk. But you know, you try to be the best you can be at whatever it is. God calls us to be excellent. And if we do that, we will find success. Our country offers opportunities for us to have success. As we think about the rest of the world, there are places where it's tough. It's tough to find success in some of the countries. We have an advantage here in America that we need to take advantage of and to share with others. Look at this, letter C. We also help others in need. Verse in Psalm 10:18 says this, you will bring justice to the orphans and the oppressed so people can no longer terrify them. God has helped us as a nation. We in turn help others. God helps you as an individual. You, in turn, help others. Do you know what two of the strongest nations in the world were in the 1950s and 60s? Germany and Japan. Why? Because after World War II, the United States went in there and built them back up. We helped other countries. We still do that. I think today, as we look around, as we think about helping others, I was out last night. I got to go down to Edisto, which there was no beach, by the way. It was just Edisto Island with no beach because the water was up so high. We had to find another place to do this little wedding, but we did it. And we got out there, and as we were getting ready for this wedding, we're thinking about the people that are out there, you know, these crazy folks that are out here on the beach. They're not even on the beach. And I asked one guy, I said, where are you from? He said, I'm from Asheville, North Carolina. I said, really? What do you do? He said, I work with a nonprofit group that helps people. Don't you like to hear that? I said, that's amazing. I said, that ought to be done by everybody. We all ought to be helping others. God's called us as a church, as individuals, and as a church, we can help more people than we can do individually. And that's something that we can all work together as we give. Also, letter D, we have recognized our need for God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, notice I put the word recognized, past tense. Many, many folks have kind of fallen away from their need of God. They don't need God now. They've got it all. They've got AI. They've got everything they need in their own little world. They don't need God. And we have to be careful that we don't get sucked into that. Because the idea of being needed by God is very important. My pastor I worked with up in Tennessee wrote a little Facebook message, and I'll talk more about Facebook in a second. I want you to hear what he wrote on July 4th. This is really good. Dear friends, I pray you are enjoying this Independence Day by spending quality time with loved ones, enjoying traditions of the season, like hot dogs and fireworks. In addition, I earnestly pray you will take some time to express meaningful gratitude to the Lord for the blessings in America. Granted, there are plenty of things wrong with the current state of our country, and there's far too much division, disrespect, disregard, sometimes dishonor. There's far too little humility, meekness, compassion, and kindness. And there is a lot of self-centeredness and too little selflessness. As throughout our history, we often fall short of the ideals of our democracy. And even so, the high truths that we hold and pursue as citizens are worthy of celebrating today. The equality of all people. God-given rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Right to freely exercise our faith and free speech. The right to due process of law and many more. And then he goes on to say this. True patriots served and sacrificed that we may know the privileges and opportunities of these ideas. Like our salvation, this freedom is neither earned or deserved. Ultimately, as in all of life's blessings, they are the handiwork of God's grace upon us. As people of faith, our sacred and civil duty is to extend that grace in the form of kindness, mercy, charity, and selfless sacrifice to all those around us. In doing so, we follow the will of our Savior and the commission of His Scripture. The noble exercise of our freedom occurs when we utilize it to share the compassion to a neighbor that we would want ourselves. Folks, get this. Asking how many people attend a religious service every week in America? What percentage of Americans attend religious services every week? 20%. I don't even know how they came up with that number. It's probably too high. If you look around James Island right now, there's a lot of driveways with cars in them, right? Or going out to the beach. How about this? How many people attend any service of any kind throughout the year? Well, let me put it this way. 31% of Americans never attend any service of any kind all throughout the year. So that's over 30, almost a third of the people in our country never attend. I'm talking not Christmas, not Easter. So we need to return to that idea that we need God. Why the church? Why is the church so important? The church is the body of Christ. If you love Christ, you love the body of Christ. That's important. That's important. And then number two, you know, on your list. I hope you got one of the outlines that you're filling out. If you don't have one, there's some in the back there. Show love for our country by A, obeying our country. That's in the Bible. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, obey the government, for God is the one who put it there. All government has been placed in power by God. So those who refuse to obey the laws of the land are refusing to obey God. Now, there are certain governments in our world that are not very godly at all. I would say they're opposite of that. And those are the folks that say, you know what? As Dietrich Bonhoeffer, if you want to get a picture of that, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor in Germany as Hitler came into power. And he realized this is not of God, what was happening. And if you read what he did and what they went through, he was actually executed about 2 weeks before the Americans came in to liberate Germany. A tragic story in that way, but also a great example of when it is time to stand up for making government right. God intended for life to be an ordered process, and therefore he created government. There are rules and guidelines wherever we work. I think of the train that said, I don't like these tracks that we're on. The train said, let's just get off the tracks. What happens? Crash. The power of the train is found when it follows the guide of the tracks. God has given us guidelines, and if we follow those guidelines, if we follow his path that he's calling us to, we will find power like never before, just like that train. The second verse that's listed there, when Jesus, they tried to trick him, you know, they're always trying to trick him. They held up a coin and said, should we give this to God or give it to Caesar? Who does this belong to? And he said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and God what is God's. Giving to God. Well, part of that is, and you know, as much as we may not want to talk a lot about it, is just being the paying the taxes that we're required to do, because our country provides protection. We have a military that protects. Some of you served in the military. We honor our military because they are out there sacrificing for us. I had a wedding yesterday, and the family was from the Dominican Republic, but the son is serving in the Navy. The daughter, now the new daughter-in-law, is in the Army. So here they were coming together at Hampton Park to get married. Now, I had trouble with some of the pronunciations, okay? And yet, when we got through and I said, you may kiss the bride, guess what happened? They kissed and they were married. That's the beauty of coming together and then realizing that we have a country where there's opportunity. We have a country where these folks are sacrificing. That couple, I don't know what they're going to face as they go through this life of being military in two different services. But I pray for them as they move forward. Ray Stevens, I asked that question on the little text that went out this morning. How many of you know who Ray Stevens is? There we go. He was a catcher for the Oklahoma City AAA team. No, it's a different Ray Stevens. Sorry. Ray Stevens was a singer who sang some of the craziest songs. I mean, yeah, I'm going to read you some of the funny titles of some of his songs. The Red Hot Chili Cook-Off. Think of the Peppers, right? This group. Surfing in the USSR. I saw Elvis in a UFO. That combines a couple of conspiracy theories. The Streak, that's the one. I don't want you to raise your hand. I do not want you to raise your hand on this one. The Streak. That was a fad back in the 70s, I guess it was, college students. How many know, don't raise your hand that you did it, but how many know what that was? Do not point at anybody, please. The Streak. He wrote that song, and just funny lyrics that he wrote. Let's see another one. The Mississippi Squirrel Revival. Tim and I were talking about that one. Guitarzan. That's a good one. I don't know, this is based on probably a great love song. She came in through the bathroom window. It's got to be a great love song somewhere. Teenage Mutant Kung Fu Chicken. But my favorite one, as we think about this, if 10% is enough for Jesus, it should be enough for Uncle Sam. There's a challenge, right? So that's a great little line. But we are called to be faithful and obey and do the things that are honorable. I don't want to talk about being pulled over by the police right now. We'll save that for another day. Honor your country. Look at what it says here in Romans 13, another challenging chapter. Give everyone what you owe him. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. And despite our imperfections, America is still considered one of the greatest and the greatest country in the world from our perspective as we look at it. I don't know about you, but when I started doing Facebook, I did not know how to do it. I don't know. How long has Facebook been out? It's been out 12, 15 years, I thought you accepted every friend that came along. It was a mess, all right? In other words, I got to 5,000 friends pretty quick. So now when I add somebody, I have to kick somebody out. You know, somebody's out, add somebody in. But in doing that, I've actually got some friends all around the world. And you know what? This is kind of interesting. They all love the USA. They all want to be here. And that's one of those things that we sometimes take for granted, the freedoms that we have. But to be here is a beautiful thing. In just a few moments, we're going to talk about and we're going to hear the words of one of the great songs, America the Beautiful. It was written by Kathy Lee Bates. She was a teacher, a professor in New England. But she went out to Colorado during the summertime, and they took her up on the top of Pikes Peak, and she saw that beautiful purple mountain grandeur. And she sat down and wrote the words to America the Beautiful. She wrote again. She kind of fixed them up a little bit more in 1904. That was in 1895 and 1904. In 1913, she kind of revised them one more time. And in a few moments, we're going to hear those words from people sitting all around you. So get ready. Get ready. But we think about that beautiful song to honor our country. Many people think of that as our second national anthem to go through. And then thirdly, third thing we need to do is pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our country. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says this, I urge that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. God moves through the prayers of his people. We are his people. Matter of fact, we are America and we are God's family. Someone said, as a Christian, we look beyond the White House and the Capitol. We look to the pearly gates. That's where we find what we need to do, and that's through prayer. A great verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 says this, If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. That is a prescription for revival. Those are the things that we do, that we should be doing, to find God coming in to our great land. Now, I've got some folks, as we get ready, I'm going to slip over here to the keyboard and play a little bit. We have our microphone pass her around here. Susan's going to come around to a few folks. Don't worry, if I didn't talk to you, you're not in on it. So people are going, oh no, what's he going to do here? So we've got four folks that are picked out, and they're going to share as we get going. So David, hang on just a second. And when I start, then you guys can start in.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains' majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Oh, beautiful for pilgrim feet who sterned in passion stress, a thoroughfare of freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God mend thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law.
O beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness and every gain divine.
O beautiful for patriot's dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Appreciate the band, and thank you for listening so well and laughing at a few the jokes were close to being funny, so thank you for laughing on those. And I pray that that message came through about our nation and freedoms. A couple quick announcements for you. Our youth, we got several youth here today, and check those dates off. If you'd like to go with us, we'd love for you to go. There's a little insert in the bulletin you can fill out. Also, we need some chaperones and some people that can drive if you'd like to go with us. We go on a Sunday afternoon. We drive up, and we go to Carowinds on Monday when nobody's there. All right? If you go on Friday or Saturday, you'll have a horrible experience. If you go on Monday, it's awesome because there's nobody there. We go in the ride. We get off. We can go right back on. All right? Also, coming up right that same week is going to be James Island Outreach. We help out with feeding the folks here on James Island that are less fortunate and need that blessing. If you'd like to help out on those 2 days, mark those dates down and be a part of that as well. Also coming up, the school supply drive. A lot of children, you know, it's not cheap going to school as far as the school supplies. Maybe it's not cheap in any way, but the school supplies, some people can't afford that. We actually do some make donations to help with that. If you'd like to make donations, Lori's in the back right there. She can tell you if you want to make a check or do a gift in that way to help out. We'll have that ready for those students when they start here later in the summer. All right. I think we got a couple more on July 17th, 18th at the Joe. And that's going to be 18th and 19th, Friday and Saturday night. They have rented out the entire stadium, and they're going to be bringing in some Christian artists and one of those C.C. Winans and others. And Scott Dawson will be speaking. It's kind of a Billy Graham type crusade. So if you'd like to be a part of that, take that little card that's in your bulletin and invite someone, pray for someone to be a part of that. Jonathan, tell them a little bit about what's happening on Wednesday nights.
So our men's group is back to Bible study this week after a couple weeks off during this holiday and summertime. Wednesday night, 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall for men's Bible study. We'd love to have you join us. Thank you.
It's great because every time Jonathan comes to the mic and invites people, it like doubles in size. So come on out Wednesday night. All right.
Amen.
Woo! I'm not embarrassing anybody today, but I tell you one thing I appreciate about my dentist is he plays Christian music all through the whole office. So I love that, but I'm not going to say he might be here today, but there you go. So let's pray together. Take that excitement with you as you go out today. And, hey, he's a chain breaker. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for this country that we live in. We have the freedom to sing that song, to share your praises wherever we go. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Help us to express it freely every day as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.